And I still have some of the pressed glass that was in that house. And my first granddaughter has the treadle sewing machine that Mother made all my clothes on, and it was in the house.
Goodness.
And then one of the other granddaughters has the high chair that was in it. And if that chair had a lever on it, you could put it down to a youth-sized chair and down to a rocking chair. In the back, that little lever released it from the from a regular high chair. And then it was just called a youth chair, so it was just right for a child to sit on it at the table. Oh. And then down to a rocking chair.
What a wonderful thing. I bet that granddaughter is
Susie's girls have it.
Oh,
yes.
Uh-huh. That is fabulous.
But I was thinking back when we were talking. When I was growing up here in school, there were really three distinct units in town. It was a very thriving community. But the mill workers had their own life. The railroaders had their own life. And the business people and the professional people had their own life. It was just like three different groups that was living here in town.
And they didn't meet for social reasons?
No, never. They didn't intertwine at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, me growing up as an only child, it was school, of course. We took piano lessons like most of them did. And we learned to swim down at the YMCA. And then later on, the pool was built up where the weight station is now as you go up toward Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go up there.
Would you describe the pool at the YMCA? I assume it was in the basement.
It was in the basement.
Yes.
And then...
Was it the full size of the building?
It was not an Olympic-sized pool. It was a smaller pool, but it had a diving board and all, because I know... scared me to death because I belly flopped. When I was learning to drive, it scared me to death and it hurt the sides.
The YMCA building was built in 1914.
Oh, was it?
Yes. And then it became the IOOF Hall. I'm not sure when. Maybe 10 or 15 years later. At the time that you were in the swimming pool, was it operated as the YMCA?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Was it available for anyone in the community?
Anyone in the community. We could swim there. As far as I know, we all learned to swim there. And then later on, there was a business school in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't that crazy about school. I enjoyed the activities and I kind of skated through school in high school. I was in all the activities in high school. And I decided I didn't want to go to college, so I went to the business school.
In that building?
In that building.
Uh-huh.
And then when my friends came back from college, I thought I'm missing something, so I got all my credits together, went down to the University
of Oregon. What kinds of courses were they offering in the business school? Typing and shorthand?
Typing and shorthand and bookkeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I loved the bookkeeping. The shorthand was fun because it was drawing things. I couldn't anymore do that anymore. I could fly.
Do you think that these classes were taught by people who had been in business themselves?
No, they were just they were teachers that heavens know where they came from.
You don't know where they came from.
We had several business schools in
here in LeGrand, even
they
after you?
Real people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, they were real teachers that that ran it. They were business people that came in here to open the business school and had the training.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went down to the University of Oregon for the 2 years. Then I went into Portland and went to the art school there for a while. Then I came home and went over here to, the college was new then at that time, so I went over there for a term. Then I was working in a dress shop downtown, which eventually became the Topshop. And that's when Bob came up here. The Standard Oil Company were putting in the butane gas business here. And, oh, it was a hard winter that year. And it was scheduled to be finished at a certain time. And that involved a lot of money, of course. So that he threw up his hands because the ground was frozen and all. And they sent Bob up here and from San Francisco. And he took it over and got the job done. And that's when I met him, and then 6 months later we were married. And then, of course, he was in the utility business, and from there we went on to when it was finished here, we went to Shelton, Washington, and to Anacortes, Washington, then to Tacoma and Seattle, and then back to Portland. And when we were in Portland, the people from the Honolulu Gas Company came after and became sales manager for the company in Honolulu. So we moved to Honolulu. And then he worked his way up to one of the vice presidents of the company over there. And then the Pacific Coast Gas Association came after him to manage the association work, which was the seven western states. And that was fun because what Bob's job was to set up the different conferences, and they generally are about once a month, of the different departments of the gas companies, and then once a year was the big convention. And the board asked me to go with Bob to entertain the women that came with their husbands, and that was real fun. And he was in that for 18 years. And then when he retired, just a year that he retired right after that, my mother became very ill, and we lost her. And we were concerned because Dad was still living in the house that I'd grown up in. And we decided that, well, as long as Bob was retired, and he knew LeGrand, because this is where I'd met him, and we came up every summer with the girls to visit the family, we decided to move back as long as Dad needed us. And then we were here a year, and then we, and I was looking up, that's a piece of paper I was looking at. We bought the house on May Day in 73. Here, we bought this house.
Oh my God.
On May Day. And then just, we had only been in the house a short time when we discovered that Bob had cancer, and I lost him 7 years before I lost my dad. So I just stayed. Mm-hmm. And then after he was gone, one of my friends in Olympia from Shelton days called, and she said, I'm going on a trip to China and I need a roommate. Why don't you go with me? And I said, that's a wonderful idea. So we went all through, I went all through China, went into Beijing and came clear out at the end. And that gave me my gypsy feet again, I guess. And from then on, I did a lot of overseas traveling with a sorority sister who still lives and grew up in Pendleton, Burl Grilly, and have gone to the Netherlands with her. And then we went to Kenya in Africa, and Israel, Cairo. And then I took my girls, oh, then with Jean Cuthbert and her daughter, I went to France and Germany with them. And then I took my girls to Austria and to see the Passion Play. And then we left the group and visited a relative that we learned about in Germany. And then just came back here and involved with hospital.
Could we go back to those months before you were married? Do you remember what your husband said to you about the problems he was running into and getting the gas service set up here?
Oh, yes. It was because it was a very severe winter, and we had like 20 below zero then. Mm-hmm. See, that was in 30. Mm-hmm. Or 29, yeah, in 30. And the men just threw up their hand, and that was just the beginning of the Depression.
Had there been any previous work done to lay the pipes?
No, they were just getting ready to dig the ditches, and of course it all had to be dug by hand.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. There was no machinery they could use?
There was not heavy machinery like there is now.
It was all with shovel and pick?
Shovel and pick. Mm-hmm. And Bob, of course, there were a lot of people looking for work, but the wages were nothing. And Bob convinced the company if he could pay, I think it was 5 or 10 cents more an hour, that he could get a lot of help, mm-hmm. which he did. And boy, they worked their tails off.
Were they mostly local men?
Mostly local men, mm-hmm. yeah.
And how did the 5 or 10 cents an hour additional pay induce them to work for
him? It induced them to leave other menial jobs. They had to work for him.
They were.
And they liked working for him.
They weren't mill workers or railroaders then?
No. The railroad, see, the railroad was such a big business, and people don't realize that that's still one of the big incomes in this town. Because the freight men still live here.
Yeah.
because of getting out of here. Uh-huh. But see, when Dad was a railroader, and he took pride in his work, and Mother kept him, those blue and white overalls and blue and white jackets, Mother kept them just spotless. He was always just as clean as a pin. He loved his work. He loved being a railroader. And of course, he was gone a lot, and me being alone as an only child, when Dad was gone, I was with Mom, and I became involved with her in the church work, which was just next door to us, with a Christian church. And then when Dad was home, I was having fun with him, with his garden, because the backyard was a garden. And then when Dad was home, we always took off, because Dad loved to fish and he loved to hunt. We were always up with the Minum, up in that area, or up to Olive Lake. Have you been to Olive Lake?
No, I haven't, but I know where it is.
Oh, that is gorgeous. Gerda, you and I are going to have to go up there and see it.
All right.
I found it for Susie. It's not too far from Granite.
Yes, that's what I know.
It's about 8 miles.
You know, Dale is over here, and Granite is over here, and Olive Lake is right in between, but it's a great big mountain, you know.
But it's a gravel road from Granite into it.
Uh-huh.
But it's much prettier than Olive Lake, and has an island out in it.
Oh.
But we used to go up there and maybe camp for a week.
Oh,
but it was always Dad's friends and their wives, and Mom's, of course. I was generally about the only child with the group.
Well,
I kind of grew up with adults. But in the evening, of course, after dinner, all of us down there in the neighborhood, we'd play out in the street.
They'd play.
We'd hide and seek,
and
marbles. We did a lot of marble playing, and
hopscotch,
and kick the can. Till it was dark,
mm-hmm.
But then I'd go in home in the house and practice the piano or do the homework I had to do, because we still had homework then. So it was a very easy life. And I was thinking the other day, we never thought about boys at all up through the 8th grade and really early in high school. Very few of them were dating. We were a bunch of naive kids up here. And in the winter, we used to, Palmer Mill would take the logs out of the pond, because it was always frozen, and we'd ice skate there, out at Palmer, which is out near where the fairgrounds are.
Yes.
And then we would, 6th Street Hill was always closed, and that's where we all did our sledding up there on the hill. But which is a piece of history, and it's here in this book, Dad, in the orders, which I think few people would even remember, probably don't even know about. Here's some more high school stuff. And I don't know which of these orders are. I can't read it. This is more stuff. There's one of the orders here where when Hill died, all of the trains came to a complete stop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in his honor. And imagine doing that now.
James J. Hill?
This is that the order there? Is that it?
Let's see, May 31st, 1916, number 23, engine ENG 560, on siding, and meet extras 2141 and 2129 east at Perry, ENG 3802. Run extra Camila to Hillgard. Meet number 23, ENG 560 at Hillgard. I don't see anything about James J. Hill, though.
No, that isn't the one there. This was
the Oregon Washington Railroad Navigation Company.
See, that's what it was, originally. And I don't know what year it became the Union Pacific.
Here it is, May 31st, 1916. In memory of the late James J. Hill, all trains will come to a full stop at 12 o'clock noon and remain standing until 12:05 p.m. All work will be suspended during this period. Signed, W.B. That would have been the train master?
Yeah.
For the Oregon Washington Railroad and Navigation Company.
Yeah. Hmm. Isn't that a piece of history?
Oh, that
imagine doing that now.
I can't. Boy, that is just fabulous.
And here's the certificate of examination for Edward Ebel.
Ebel, excuse me.
Number 158. They got it spelled wrong in the first place, E-B-E-L. That's why I mispronounced it.
There is an Ebel here in town that spells it with just one L.
Oh,
this is June 20th, 1910, I think. Would that be about right? This was his...
Probably become an engineer.
Yes, qualified to fill a position of road engineer.
Yeah, that's from being a fireman, you see, to his engineer. I found these all in the desk when I was cleaning out the house.
Oh, these are splendid. I would like to copy these.
You certainly may. But these, see these yellow that you just read about that? When the men were on the engineers, when they were like going up, the orders were given this way. And Dad would had a stick. It was about this long that had a hoop in it. And he'd put that out and the people at the helper station would clip those on with a clothespin, and he'd bring it back and take the order off and throw the hook back on the ground. But that's the way they took these, and these yellow orders were given that way.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And of course, now they do it all from Omaha with the electronics.
Oh, yeah.
And here's a certificate that said that he is required to wear glasses while on duty.
Yeah.
And here's an air brake certificate.
There's a few things in there
that
I...
Did you tell Eugene about the silk train?
No, I didn't.
The silk train. Let's hear about the silk train.
You know, I wish I knew what condition that silk was in. Dad loved to get, they call it the silk train. The only thing I know about it, it was heavily insured. And when the boats came into, or the ships came into Portland, they were put on the train, and it was given the right-of-way over everything. He could go as fast as he wanted and stop for nothing.
Where was it going?
Going back, apparently, to New York. Or back east someplace, apparently to a manufacturing
place. Why do you guess that it had such a high priority?
It was so heavily insured.
Oh.
And Dad loved to get that silk train.
Now, it was not pieces of fabric.
I think it must have been the raw silk.
The raw silk.
It must have been. I'm assuming that, Gert, because... I never questioned it. I just remembered Mother was always scared because she knew he'd go faster than he could on the train, which he loved. And another thing he loved was getting the snowplow.
Oh.
He just loved to run the snowplow.
Uh-huh.
When the railroaders were here, they went from here west to Reeth and back, and then from here east to Huntington and back.
Mm.
And Dad had either way, whatever it was called.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd always take time off when Uncle Frank was going to harvest hay, and we'd go up to the ranch, maybe for 2 or 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
But, our pleasure was going out in the woods. And Mother loved to cook by the open fire. She was a wonderful cook.
Did your father say anything about the difficulties of getting a freight train over the Blue Mountains to Reef?
Well, they always had helpers,
mm-hmm.
you see, and then the helpers got off at Camilla, or they got, and sometimes, and then they'd come back to the Grand. But see, there was a helper station at Camilla. And then the one big problem was going east. The wind lots of times was in the valley, so the freight trains could hardly get up through the canyon.
Mm-hmm.
He's had the tops blow off for the freight trains out there. And then, of course, the hot lake was out there. Another thing that Dad did, which I thought was great, Mother, he always had a look the way he whistled out of town, and I never did figure it out. He had a little quirk to it. Mother knew when he left town, and she knew when he was coming into town.
Oh,
she could hear that whistle.
Uh-huh.
She knew when he was coming home. I always thought that was the sweetest couple. They were the happiest couple. They just had such fun together. But that was Dad's way of saying goodbye to her, and I'm headed home.
Was he always on freight service?
No, when he graduated from that to the passenger. But another, what he loved, for a while he was on the From Here to Joseph on
the branch line.
On the branch line, mm-hmm. And he loved that. And he threw seeds all along the right of way. He had flowers growing all from here to Joseph along the right of way. He loved flowers, mm-hmm. And he loved the vegetables and all. Mm-hmm. So he was quite a guy.
When you said that he graduated to the passenger, was that supposedly a better job?
It was a he knew the time. Mm. He knew when it was going to be in and out.
Less regular hours.
It was regular hours, mm. which he liked. And he enjoyed that. And he enjoyed that run up to Joseph too a lot. And it was a regular time too.
Do you remember his talking about the men that he had to work with?
When Dad was, when I was living at home, so many of the men, single men, came in here from Washington when they were trying to get more men on the road here out of LeGrand. So many of them were single, and they lived in boarding houses here in LeGrand. And they were at our house all the time. Mother was always cooking for a bunch of men. But it was a happy house. It was just and all of my friends loved to come to our house, and Dad teased her to pieces. I remember one time I had a birthday party, and it was in January, so it was cold. So all of their shoes that they wore were in the hall, or in the front of the house. Mm-hmm. And Dad happened to come in, and he went down and got one of Mother's big wash tubs, and he put all those shoes in and mixed them up. So they all had to scramble to find their old shoes to take to wear. Uh-huh. Those are silly things that... state of my mind.
Did you ever go down to the railroad yards yourself to watch what was going on?
Dad would come home several times. He'd bring the circus train into town. Uh-huh. And Dad would come home and get me and take me down so I could watch them unload the animals from the train. And then, of course, we always had a gorgeous parade downtown. Mm-hmm. That was part of the... And then I think I told you before that... where that credit union bank is there, that little triangle block.
Yes.
There used to be a gorgeous gazebo on there. And
or band concerts.
And the LeGrand band, we had an active LeGrand band. My Uncle Pete played in that, played the cornet. And they'd have Sunday afternoon concerts. Mm-hmm. And everybody walked down to see it. Mm-hmm.
When the circus came to town and had their parade, were you allowed to follow them up to where they were going to perform and put up their tent?
When I was in high school, a lot of us would go up to the circus.
Mm-hmm. Was that on the grounds where the university is? Yes.
Where the college is, mm-hmm. now.
And they would parade up 4th Street?
Yes. I think they went up 6th. They would go up, I think 4th Street.
Less of a hill there.
Yeah, too yes. much hill on 6th Street. Uh-huh. But... And I think Dad took me a time or two up to watch him set up the tent, but I don't remember that particularly.
How many people do you think from LeGrand or the whole valley came to see the circus?
Oh, the tent was full. Mm-hmm.
Would that have been 500 or 1,000 people?
Maybe? Oh, probably 500, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then another thing, too, that happened. See, a few... of the farmers wanted their children to come into our high school here in LeGrand, and the mother would move into an apartment during the school year with the kids, mm-hmm. and then they'd all move back out to the mm-hmm. farm in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Did you know Will McGaskill, Hyatt?
I didn't know.
You knew Jack's wife?
Yeah.
Wilma's family, the two girls, always came to high school. And she'd move into an apartment here someplace with Sally.
That happened a lot in those early days.
Yeah.
People moved in from the farms.
They'd move in an apartment. The mother would move in.
Why do you assume they wanted the kids to go to the LeGrand High School?
It was bigger.
And then,
instead of the little high schools.
Therefore better?
I think they felt they were going to get a better education. I don't know why
and
else.
They always had high school in them, but I was thinking maybe they didn't have
No, they had high school and out at Elgin. There were high schools out there, but they weren't very big.
When Julia Gilstrap was in high school, I just assumed there wasn't one. And some of them were.
I think there was, because there were very few of the kids that came into town.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Somerville didn't have one, but I think all the others did.
Yeah.
Not Island City either.
Julia Gilstrap lived in town too, and I've heard her talk about that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Especially for the winter, because sometimes you couldn't get off the farm in the winter.
Right.
And then when I was in very early grade school, Mother took me back to meet her family in Trenton, Missouri, on the train. I don't remember that too well. But then when I graduated from high school, Auntie Cassie, Pete Beaver's wife, he was the one that I said played in the orchestra, in the band. We went back again to Trenton, Missouri. Then we stopped in Kansas City. Mother's maiden name was Carpenter, and her cousins had the Carpenter Auctioneer College in Kansas City, and that auctioneer school is still going.
Oh, for goodness.
But I read, and of course that was the first time, well, Auntie had taken me to Portland one time when I was younger, but that was the first big city I'd ever been in, and I was really, and this was a beautiful home they had, and I was very impressed with it, even graduating from high school.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, then when we came back, and then, well, I told you that I did the traveling I've done.
Yes.
And then my friend Burl and I have done several, Burl got me interested in the Elder Hostel program, and we've done several, two float trips. First float trip we did was on the Grand Round River. We've done two on the Rogue, and then we did 6 days. That was not Elder Hostel.
Oh, tell me all you can remember about the float trip on the Grand Ron River.
It was delightful.
Where did you start?
At Minum, and came out at Troy.
Ah. And now, there's some fairly rough water along in there,
isn't
there?
Not too bad, but it was fun. But the people that are interested in Elder Hostel, most of them are retired teachers, are people that are still interested in wanting to learn things.
Mm-hmm.
So on that trip was a young man who was a student, senior year, I think, at Whitman, and he adored rocks. He knew every rock by its first name, and he would talk to us in the evening about all this formation. And then there was a man on there who knew every wildflower by its first name. And it was in the spring, so the wildflowers were in bloom, and he was so fascinated. And then there was a man on there that was the one that created the recipe for Smith's Swiss chocolate.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And there was a man that came out. He decided he wanted to come west, and this was Elder Hostel. He came right from New York City. And
was
made
this,
that trip.
Was this trip in the 1970s, perhaps?
Yes, in the late 70s. It had to be, because it was after I lost Bob, and I lost him. He only lived in the house with me a year when I lost him, mm-hmm. in 74. So,
has the Grand Ron been a favorite?
They don't do it anymore.
Oh, they don't.
No, Elder Hostel doesn't do that, and they don't come over to college anymore, and I don't know why.
But they do the float trips.
Oh, they still do the float.
Yeah.
The two Rogue River trips that we did, they were just kind of on our own, because we loved it. And there was some young people from the Midwest on that. They were on another group than we were. And Burl and I were standing there looking at the river, waiting for dinner. This is when Burl taught me to go in again. I said, I'm tired of sleeping on the ground. And she said, we're going to stay in cottages this time. I said, okay, I'll go. But they came over and they said, we know we shouldn't ask you this, but we are so interested in how old you two are.
Oh.
And Burl said, well, that's no question at all. She said, we're octogenarians. And they said, oh. Oh. Burl laughed. She said that. She said, I bet they went and looked up a dictionary what that meant. Then we did 6 days on the Grand Route, on the Colorado. Uh-huh. And that was quite a trip,
right.
A float trip.
What else have you done in the last 25 or so years within Union County?
Most of the activity up at the hospital with, I started out, I was president in 76 and 77. I looked that up for that clam chowder thing when I started it. And
now,
then,
is that the volunteers group?
The volunteer group, the Auxiliary Hospital Auxiliary, that volunteer group. And I was president in 76 and 77. And at that time, they were asking the president to sit at the board meeting, so anything that the board was discussing that they felt the auxiliary should know about, the president could take back to the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So the year I was president, they said, Edith, we don't want all these women coming in. We want you to join the board. So I joined then I was on the hospital board for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on, and then they asked me to be on the hospital foundation board. And I was on it for several years. I thought 20 years was enough free deal at the hospital. And I kept active in the hospital auxiliary.
What were the satisfactions for you in being a volunteer and being a
head?
Oh. On the board.
Yeah.
What else did you do in the service line at the hospital?
Oh, just...
Well, you did that sewing. You did several projects of sewing.
One day I was went into where the nurses were. These things were laying there. I said, what are the... Bristow, what was her first name?
I said,
what are these? And she said, those are the falsies that we give to the women after they've had mastectomy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's the damnedest looking thing I've ever seen. And at that time, I had a very close friend here that was going through that problem. So I came home and designed and made these and took them up to Ima. And she said, and they were paying, I think, from the Red Cross, I think they were paying $5 a piece for those things.
Hmm.
So I said, what do you think about this? She says, those are wonderful. And I said, well, forget those other things. And I made them in three sizes, large, medium, and small. And the hospital auxiliary bought the material, but I made all those. And I think...
You kept them supplied for
I kept
years.
Supplied for many years. I was going to say, I think when I turned it over, since when my eyes started to fail, I quit. And I think I counted up that I'd made close to 150 of those.
Did they call you the falsy lady?
The falsy, yeah. I made the falsies. They'd call me and say,
or maybe there's some other, is there some other term for them?
No, everybody just called them falsies.
And then she had another sewing project,
what,
the clowns or?
Oh, the puppets that I helped Veda Fowl with the puppets she made.
And
what were they? Were they for sale at the gift shop?
No, we gave them to the children that were patients in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They were cute little Veda Fowls that originated there.
Hand puppets?
Hand puppets. They had the cute little clown head faces, and then I made the hats. And a lot of the bodies, too. And Veda would always assemble those things. And the last bunch I did, I had Romay help me to finish the last of those. And they don't do those anymore. They haven't done them since I finished the last one.
Laura Palmer had some kind of a little gadget that she made that she gave to people, but they didn't compare with those clowns at all.
They were darling.
They were very cute.
And now they give them kind of little animals. Things that everybody makes.
Yeah, I was a volunteer. I actually worked on the floor so that whenever I was on the floor and there were children in there, by then I was the one that got to give them to the patient. And that was always a special treat because
there was that cute little poem with them.
Yeah,
from the auxiliary lady.
Something new for them to divert their attention from what they were suffering from.
And then since I've been here, I was in Mother was not active. My auntie was very active in Eastern Star, and I was initiated when I was 18 in the Eastern Star. That was before I left here, before I met Bob.
Mm-hmm.
That was after I came back to LeGrand. And Dad had become a Mason and went on and was belonged to the Shrine. But my Uncle Pete Beaver played in the Al-Qaeda band, too, the Shriners in Portland. Mm. So Annie and Uncle P would go with the Shriners a lot when he was in the band with his clarinet. He's the one that insisted I had to take piano lessons.
Let's see.
And I took from Hilda Anthony over there. And then I went from her to Mrs. Green. Her husband was Green just an attorney, or did
he? No, he was a judge.
Started out as an attorney, I think, and then went to become a judge.
He was in with Hess. Hedley Hess was a big lawyer.
Yeah, well, Peggy was a friend of mine, Hess.
What was your understanding or impression of the purpose of Eastern Star?
Just something to belong to at the time.
Well, didn't they ask you to learn certain information or say certain...
They had officers, and 1 year I was one of the points of the star in the ceremony. And of course, women belonged to things like that. It was their social activity, really, in those days. Women are not interested in activities like that much anymore. Except like our PEO groups, which I've been invited to join here.
What would go on at a typical Eastern Star meeting?
Well, they'd have this regular program that they have, the ceremony they go through, and then there was generally a social hour afterwards.
Can you tell me what the ceremony consisted of?
No.
It's secret.
It's secret?
Are certain stations around. You know.
Each star point has a station, and there's words that go with it.
But is that ceremony supposed to bring you together in some sort of beliefs?
Well, it's a part of the Masonic Order too, mm-hmm. which is another the organization mm-hmm. that Dad was in mm-hmm. too. But it was an opportunity for women, I guess, to express themselves and to get out away from their homes. But women then were not working women. In fact, I can remember in college when the gals were juniors or seniors, if they weren't engaged and had wedding plans, they were scared to death. They thought they were going to be old maids or something. Yeah. That was the future for women at those days. Very few women worked.
Apparently, when you got married and left LeGrand, you didn't continue with the Eastern Star?
No. I'm a life member because Mother always gave me my receipt as a birthday present, so she kept me paid up till. And after 50 years, you become a life member. You don't have to pay dues anymore. And here I've been a member for over 75. Catherine Moran and I were initiated the same night.
You were?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
That goes
away.
You give me the impression that a number of women join, at least partly, so they could get out of the house.
I think so.
Was it also so they could maybe dress up and catch up on gossip and have a party?
Right, there could be a lot of that. Wouldn't you say so?
Visiting
together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, men joined the Eastern Star too. There weren't too many men came.
It was kind of a social club.
It was a social club type of thing. And you know this building that's on the corner of N and 6th on the west south corner that has a porch on the front.
You mean the neighborhood club?
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. When the old depot and the big roundhouse was behind it, mm-hmm. that was the men's clubhouse.
Yes.
And they moved it up there
mm-hmm.
and became the neighborhood
club. It was also the infirmary, wasn't it? For people who got sick on the railroad,
they had a little station
there with all kinds of.
Yeah, there. But it was kind of the men's clubhouse there, right next to the old depot.
But, you know, the Rainbow Girls were also part of the Masonic.
Well, yes. And then there's Job's Daughters and the Demolite. But that all was after I left LeGrand.
Oh, I see. They didn't start that until later.
No, that was all started later.
But the YMCA was a big social organization, too.
Definitely.
That was good. You know, besides swimming, it was also a organized activity for other things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you what, because it was gone when I got
there. It was gone when you got there.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything else about activities?
I just remember going swimming there. I was busy with my friends, and I don't know where the time went, but, and then of course I'd sewed a lot because Mother made all of my clothes on that old treadle machine and taught me, and she, and then when Dad was gone, Mother did a lot of, in the evening, she did a lot of embroidery and things like that, and knitting, and she taught me how to do it because I was home with Mother alone, but I was with Dad when he was home.
Mm-hmm. So she knew how to do carpentry too.
Well, because there were your dad when he was home.
You're very clever with a saw.
Yeah, I know.
I was so impressed when the auxiliary needed something in decoration, and she just sawed it up and put it together. And, oh, gracious.
Well, I worked, Dad was a natural. He would have been a fantastic engineer if he had schooling with him.
I mean, another kind of engineer, you mean?
A mechanical engineer,
yes.
Type.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could make anything out of wood or metal that he wanted to. In fact, one time when I, and we came home to visit wherever we were during the summer for a short time. Maybe Bob would be with us for a week on his vacation, and I'd stay another week or two with the girls. Just, but we always went up to the ranch because it was fun. We lived in cities, and it was fun for the girls to have an experience out in the country. See, the ranch was at the end of Pocahontas Road out of Baker, about 8 miles.
That's the ranch that belonged to your family?
That my, where my dad grew up. His mm-hmm. mother and dad had mm-hmm. that. Uh-huh. So we were there. We never stayed in La Grande because the little house down there, and the kids just loved it up there to run up around on the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful experience for them. I can remember they'd go down when Uncle Frank milked the cows, and Susie said, I can't wait to tell my friends about milking the cows and all. Marcia just don't bother. They think it all comes in a bottle.
Yeah, they wouldn't believe you anyway.
They wouldn't believe her. That's what we lived in Seattle. No.
Well, several people around town would bring their children up to see Wes milk the cow because they had never seen a real cow being milked. And of course, that era passed, and
yes,
there were machines, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was fun.
I'm amazed you haven't been to Olive Lake.
I am too.
It's a gorgeous lake.
It's
clear as a bell.
Huckleberries being stick up there sometimes, unless they ruined it now.
I don't know, but the Forestry Department built a beautiful boat ramp up there for the fishermen and all to get in to
it. That's a date. Edith, we've got to go.
Yeah, okay.
There this summer. Or I get any older.
Yeah, or we get any older. No, but then we used to go, and of course the old road going up to Joseph was down by the water. It wasn't up on the side hill like it is now. And one time when I was in college, going down to college, going home after Christmas, we were down, about to the Dalles, yes. And the conductor came through the train, because we were going on the train, of course. The conductor came through and said, is Edith E. Bell in here? And I said, yes. And she said, somebody wants to see you out the back of that train. And I thought, who wanted the sun want to see me? I went back, and there stood Dad. I said, what are you doing clear down here? They sent him on the snowplow from La Grande down there. They crossed the bridge and went up the Washington side to Portland and came down this way to shovel the snow so the train could go on to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember that, too.
Well, that's not something that happens anymore.
No, that doesn't happen anymore.
Something of the past.
You were talking about being a volunteer at the hospital
yes.
in your later years. In your earlier years, do you remember any experiences with any sort of medical care, a doctor or a hospital?
No, I never was sick.
Did you accompany anybody to the hospital or to
no.
see a doctor?
Yeah.
Or visit anybody in the old Grand Round Hospital?
No, that's where Marsh was born, the old hospital.
Oh.
But,
what do you remember about that experience? Not the birthing itself, but about the hospital.
Jimmy Hahn. delivered Marsh up at the old hospital.
Were you there for about a week?
I was there 2 days.
2 days.
Jimmy was very modern, and I was only there. She was delivered early in the morning, and I went home the next day, down to Mom and Dad's. And, I think she was only 6 days old, and I had her downtown on a in a buggy.
Well, that's not unusual for today, but it,
no, it
was
then. So many of the women down here thought we'd lost our mind.
Yeah, what did the inside of that hospital look like, at least the parts you saw?
Just sterile. I don't remember that detail of it particularly.
They didn't decorate hospitals.
We didn't decorate. There weren't pictures.
Pretty
long
bare.
White.
Pretty bare, white.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was white.
Usually
and the iron beds, I'm sure.
Usually no private rooms, just a row of beds.
I was in a private room.
You were?
Room. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think they had private.
Yeah, we had private rooms.
But 60 years ago, when I had Carol, I had to stay in the hospital 2 weeks.
Isn't that amazing?
And so I must not have had a very modern doctor.
Well, I think it was customary at that time to stay in the hospital at least a week.
Well, Jimmy was brand new in town, and he had all these modern ideas. And, and Mother couldn't believe it either.
Well, I stayed in the hospital. The bill was $80 for 2 weeks.
Do you remember the hospital being drafty?
Oh, no.
Or did it
It had steam heat in it.
Mm-hmm. So it was
the radiator,
plenty
you
warm.
Know. Yeah, it was warm.
Do you remember any particular smells?
No.
Well, how was it lit?
Electric lights.
Well, what sort?
Well,
a ceiling light? A single ceiling light?
I don't remember them. Mm. No.
I bet they were hanging down.
Mm-hmm. You could be. I know that was what was in the house down there on 10th Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And then we had just the wood stove in the living room, and Mother had the wood stove in the kitchen, I know. And then when Dad dug the basement all by himself, dug out and put the basement in, that's when he put the furnace in, and the coal furnace at first, and then it went to gas.
Do you remember anything about the food at the hospital?
No. I have no memories of that.
Okay.
The only thing that women can remember, actually,